before too many minutes, we'll have some information. What I've been trying to do is to gather all of the major revenue sharing, as the governor put it in his budget, and compare with what exists now, what he's made a recommendation on. Against a crunch of June 15th for a mill rate and not having some major decisions reached. Same time, I think that the general sentiment, at least in my district, is there's a great expectation that there's going to be some property tax relief. And without tying strings to it, to any kind of assistance to the communities, be very difficult to say there would be property tax relief in every instance. Senator Jaluski, do you have any thoughts in, I know you've worked on taxation and finance and the Title 29 revision and...
Well, Mr. Chairman, could make a major concern that I would have. I like your idea of, I think you'd have to add school financing into that package too, because for most communities that have a property tax rate, their major percentage goes to schools, so I think you're going to have to look at that. I think one big issue that was not addressed by the revenue sharing bill, and I think it would be absolute insanity to try and go back in and change that. That was a four-year battle to get it where it was, or at least in my view. The whole issue that that bill did not speak to is the decentralization of state service delivery. In other words, there's no carrot in there for people to take on services in the current revenue sharing, and that might be something we need to take a look at. How do you get areas to take on state services, and how do you, in a sense, reward them if they do that?
A lot of people said that when the boroughs were created that there were the land was a carrot, and
I don't think
I
that carrot
hadn't
worked.
Nibbled.
Yeah.
Senator Platt? Do you have any thoughts along the line? I know that you have introduced pardon me if I don't use the right terms yet, resolution to amend the Constitution, which would in essence have the state pick up
spending limit.
Pardon?
Constitutional spending limit.
Yeah. Both at the local and...
Yes, I have some definite views on how we should address that since we do have the money. If you look at revenues, resource income, you'll find that currently and for the foreseeable future, the amount of monies that are collected from taxes statewide amount to roughly less than 20% of what the state has as incomes right now. My own personal views, again, I'd like some legislation that parallels, at least in part, the idea of this opinion, would be that that's the amount of money that should be earmarked for revenue sharing using the year 1979, 1980, whatever you wish, as a benchmark year that then necessitates any increase in new reassessed evaluation in a municipality to go to a vote that would not be funded with additional monies from the state. Because unless you put, in my opinion, put a lid on reassessment activity in the municipalities, there's no end to how deep that barrel has to be. You know, you've got to stabilize that property. In fact, I'm an advocate, and I find no reason in my own mind and others that I've had do a little bit of work during the interim on copying the insurance company that uses actuarial statistics, that why shouldn't property taxes be taxed on an acquisition cost? Why should my property escalate because someone down the street sold his? I don't want the privilege of saying I now live in a house twice as expensive for the right of paying tax on it. The municipality would recoup its monies at the time that that property was liquidated or transferred. The new owner would have an escalated tax base on acquisition costs. But those who live in a home for 20 or 30 years will pay at the acquisition cost. You do that with sewers, with any other public works activity. The sewer line goes in, the millage rate is set for it. An individual who pays 15 years pays no greater or no lesser amount than a newcomer who participates and uses that system that lived there 2 years. Same principle, not the reverse. Anyway, that's what I'd like to see come out of here, and hopefully it's some food for thought to stimulate the thinking process of the committee.
Senator?
Well, I'm here to learn, and I consider myself fortunate. I've got two experts on this subject. I don't mean to exclude you when I say the four of us. And so it's a learning process. Well, what you just said is fine and fine and dandy, but the problem is that by law, if you want to change the law, that's fine and dandy, but by law now, the assessor must appraise 100% of fair market value. So you're going to have to get in those moldy statutes and change it. And one of the ways that he determines fair market value is to examine comparable sales in the neighborhood. And that's how he arrives at a current valuation for your house. And that's legitimate, and that's the way it's done, one of the ways it's done. I'm not arguing with you, I'm just talking.
Well, those moldy laws are what we're going to have before us.
I understand that.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
One of the things that's been brought up a lot, and it'll be in this information, that just basic kind of background stuff, when you look at the property taxes, that whole question of the bondable valuation. If we ding around too much with the property tax, and I mean, we sure don't want to get rid of the system and then find out that the communities are not able to bond in the full faith and credit of the whole thing. And there's been just kind of rumbles from the financial markets to be sure to be aware of the capacity of being able to go, whatever you do, to be able to have the flexibility in the local level so you can, in fact, raise enough tax to pay your service on bond.
Mr. Chairman, as long as you're talking about this magnificent rewrite, there's something that's always stuck in my craw, and I've tried to remedy the situation many times, and I've always been beat over the head with the 2x4, but I find it particularly galling when the assessor by law must go out and look at the property, do his measurements and so on. He must make a physical inspection to arrive at fair market value and take into consideration comparable sales, as we've said. But also, when I buy a house or I sell a house, he sends me a little piece of paper and says, put down all of your sales data on this. I think that's a damn invasion of my privacy. What I paid for it, I may have paid an inflated value for it, or what I sold it for to a friend may have been a diminished value. That's not the test, what I paid for it or what I bought or what I sold it for. The test is, what's it worth at today's market? And to force me, you're going to go to jail, by God, if you don't answer this questionnaire. I find that particularly objectionable.
As you know, I come from a rather hotbed of conservatism, and our borough assessor had an answer to that, Senator. If he couldn't get the information, he artificially inflated the assessment. And then when you came in to protest the assessment, he took your word for what he paid for it, or he asked you to produce documentation of why it should be lower. So there are ways to get around it, I guess.
Well, maybe there are ways to get around him, too.
Probably. Senator?
I think when we're talking about property tax, I think spreading the wealth around, we've got to take care of the villages that don't have property tax and give them a fair share of the property tax relief that we're giving to the communities that do have property tax. And also, I think that the committee should set the policy, but not be hung up on dollar amounts. I mean, we're not going to go into something extravagant or anything like that, but leave that up to the finance committee.
Do we have the material yet on the Dave? Okay. We were still gathering it. 1 o'clock this afternoon.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Along the line of Frank's, Senator Ferguson's comments, one of the things that you'll be getting is a list of things that we could not address on the Title 29 committee. We pretty much made a commitment that we would not make major policy changes. One, or if we did, those would be in a separate bill, simply they'd be handled separately. The second was just a question of time. We had our first meeting in August, and you will get the revised code, but we're kind of giving a laundry list of important issues that need further attention. One of those gets into the question of the village governments. Last year, as you know, there was a $25,000 appropriation to village governments, but they are not defined in statutes. This whole question of IRA councils, village governments, the special relationship of the federal government to the native people is going to be increasingly important as now that the land starts to transfer under the 14(3C) as we're looking toward people's right to receive certain services. And if that question of structure out there is going to have to be addressed, and it's a really thorny one, but I think that's one we're going to have to look at this year. And again, we've accomplished or gotten quite a bit of background information from here to there, and we'll make that available to the committee. If there was a nice, easy answer, we'd have it, but I don't think there is.
We're waiting for some information to come down from upstairs.
Mr. Chairman, can I throw out one more?
Yes.
The whole issue of, and maybe you're addressing that in when you take a look at the schools, but capital construction funds, whether or not the legislature in its infinite wisdom should set community priorities. I think we all saw it both from Anchorage of saying, well, X number of dollars for a sports center and X number of dollars for this and so on. And I think the basic policy question is, should the legislature determine what's best for the community, or should there be a community process that determines that? And I'm talking about capital dollars as opposed to operating. And that, of course, was touched on by the governor and his municipal assistants by saying you can use it for either. But I think that'll be a major issue, and it's separable, I think, in the sense that there may be major infrastructure things like ports and harbors and so on, and you'd want to take those out for direct funding as opposed to, say, a certain laundry list of things where a community would make its own decisions. And I just throw that out because there's an infinite variety of how that can be approached.
Unfortunately, we do not have at this point a full breakdown of the formula distribution per school district. We do have for each community under the municipal assistance program and also under revenue sharing. We will have that probably by our next meeting for everybody has to go back and look at their own things that they're acquainted with. But frankly, it appears to me like that even in the governor's proposal, there are going to be some communities that, in essence, generally speaking, with a combination of increase of school, combination of 100% debt retirement, and the increase in municipal assistance, that there will be some communities that have no tax burden. Organized communities that have had historical tax burden. And I think, Senator Coletta, what if I didn't misunderstand you, you're talking about a limit on spending as well as a limit on the ability of the municipality to continue to develop its tax base in the sense of an inflationary tax base. Is that correct?
Well, not exactly, but yes, in principle, yes. Stabilization of assessment evaluation, because in the event that something similar to ISJR-3 became law, in part you alleviated some of the necessity of additional burden to local municipalities. Right now we just carte blanche mandate revenue expense to many municipalities within the state, schools included. And of course, in my spending limitation, those have to be addressed. Anytime general law impacts maintenance costs on the road or the harbor that by general law put into a municipality, the state has to contribute those maintenance monies to them. It just leads to a stabilization area-wide, with everybody knowing, or statewide, everybody knowing what's happening. But within the municipalities themselves, you know, I think it's just human nature for everyone to live the means that they have at the time. And somebody has to put that restraint on. That's a principle that's been in use for ever since IRS has been founded. You better get it while you can. At the end of the year, they don't have it to pay.
Do you have that list of
I'm going to take it out this afternoon and make a decision this afternoon.
Just as an academic exercise for partly for me and partly for the staff, we, on the back, very back sheet of this, tried to put a finger on all of the municipal assistance programs, whether they be categorical or not. I don't know how many we have there, but it's almost like the loan programs that we have. You know, we've got that many different departments involved in some way or another working with the communities, either categorical or non-categorical aid, pass-through money, etc.
Just looking over this rather rapidly, under HESS you have domestic violence that was transferred either last year or the year before to the Department of Public Safety.
And
not that it means anything, but that's
which
where,
one was that?
Domestic violence.
Well, that's good, because we were talking, why didn't public safety have something? I guess they do, on the fire protection program. The whole idea is, in my opinion, is tremendous administrative costs involved with all of these things. Each, not only, it's a two-way administrative cost at both the local and state level.
Well, you're talking in terms of administering the programs.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, taking the time to fill out the forms, and I bet or many municipalities don't even know some of these things exist. It's probably to their benefit. Yes.
You know, and this is the same with the categorical grants and the foundation formula school structure.
Mm-hmm.
I found that categorical grants were set up by those special interests that felt that it would be best to leave it there, otherwise the community schools, you know, or the school district wouldn't spend the money in the right place. But I've always felt that categorical grants should be put into one lump sum, you give that to the community, and it's up to them to prioritize where they go. But where you have mansion grants, they should stay in their categorical grants, I assume, because for no other reason, that's the only way you're going to get the money. But I thought that a lot of these things should be.
You're forced into taking a program that you don't want to get because you need part of it, so you
Or else you get too much of one,
yeah,
and you're not enough of the other.
Don, do you have any, or Mr. Chairman, do you have a feeling that this is a relatively
comprehensive
list?
Well, we think so. But each time we thought we had it completed, another one or two would trickle in. The information that I think is the most pertinent as far as did get some information, Senator, from your office that was prepared last year when the existing formula was being placed together, and how that's going to, whether that formula is going to stick, whether it's going to be changed this year, we don't know. The purpose of all this is that sometime in the near future, I hope that we'll be able to kind of lay out in the revenue sharing concept what all of this boiled together means at the local level in most cases. I don't think we're going to be able to get it in every case, but in most cases, so that you can look at it from the standpoint of what was there last year as opposed to what's being proposed for this year. Of course, the municipal assistance and the education monies, but the municipal assistance fund is the biggest increase, and I believe that is on, I don't know how, whether these are all in order or not, but I well, this is municipal revenue. Yeah.
Look, here it is. This.
No, it's, we got it by community.
Oh.
We had it by community. And, yeah, it's.
Anchorage.
You know, everybody looks at Anchorage first. See how it affects energy, but there's a $35 million increase in the, I would call it, non-categorical assistance, and I don't know whether we can get, you know, Senator Gletta, in your case, in the joint resolution, that's for 2 years, that's not going to be the direction, at least for 2 years, and if we were to be successful. So what are we going to do in the interim period here of this year, next year, fiscal 82 and 83? And are we going to require, have legislation that would require some type of reduction at the local tax level? Or are we going to go along with the governor's program of let the communities decide? Because I think there will be times when communities will, but most of it for tax relief, some will and some won't.
I have no quarrel with local economy, but I think it's necessary, since we're the providers of money, that at least there are some understandable provisos that go with it. The worst thing, my opinion, we can do is to constantly keep telling someone you're going to give them extra income and never do it. So they should know from the onset that as the state's revenues diminish, they should find themselves, and if they don't do it voluntarily, at least it would be the state's obligation to make certain that to a degree they have to be prudent and make certain that they don't get into that situation. If you look at these requests and go through these, and last year being a benchmark that I think is without envy, the amount of expenditure, with every dollar we're spending, it seems that we created more of a problem because everybody needs a hell of a lot more. There's something wrong. We didn't solve anything. There are more demands than there were. The budget was five times what had been passed.
Appetites grow. Waistlines grow.
Then maybe the tapeworm has to be treated.
Well, I take the other view. I believe that the legislature here is to appropriate and to. We shouldn't have a limit. And if we can't set a limit by ourselves, we might as well just turn over purse strings to the administration and not even have a limit. Just say that we go out of business. There's no use for us.
I didn't come down to give a big, long, philosophical discussion. I did want you to have this information so that you could peruse it and probably within the first month, we will begin to work on the money issues. Thursday, wanted to address Senate Bill 42. That's one that's rather technical, not technical, but cleanup language based on the bonds that were passed last year. And this enables the bond issues to be included in the solid waste facilities to be included in the Village Safe Water program, and that's the way the bond was written, but the law hasn't tracked with that. All this is a cleanup. So, any questions from any of us? Now, you can on these booklets, you're free to take them. We have copies of. In the office, we can see that you get it updated, or you can leave them. But we do share this room with another committee, and so we're going to try to keep all that information in my office upstairs, so that it's under somebody's watchful eye all the time. Thank you for coming.
We'll adjourn, Mr. Chairman.
Sure. Be good. I might even find a cup of coffee for
us. What time is it? I've got to be
at work.
Could you take this in, Chairman?